Well, folks, I'm really excited to have back on my show a guest that is incredible, and I'm really excited. I've got a show that we did a couple years ago linked below. It is so relevant right now. I've got that information linked below in the description. It is my pleasure to welcome back investigative journalist Leo Holman. Leo, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back on.
Yeah, what took us so long? Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, so much to get into. The American way of life is really on the precipice of no return, where powerful bankers, business leaders, and government officials, closed-door meetings in the Swiss Alps, calling for radical transformation of every society on Earth, the Great Reset. And that's what we're going to talk about. It sounds like it's one henchman with an eye patch away from being the plot for the next James Bond movie. But folks, the Great Reset is not a work of fiction. It's a highly influential movement among the world's elite to reset the global economy using banks, government programs, environmental, social, and governance metrics. And guess what? If they're successful and the Great Reset is finalized, it would put economic and social power in the hands of large corporations, international institutions, banks, and government officials, including good old Joe Biden and the United Nations and many of the members of the World Economic Forum. The roadmap to stopping it, well, it begins with fully understanding what we're up against with this. So, Leo, let's jump into what I think is an absolute science fiction. And where I want to start, it was really bizarre because a couple of weeks ago, the World Government Summit kicked off in Dubai. And I mean, of course, the title doesn't give it away, the World Government Summit. It was frightening. Some of the clips that I got, they were really pushing climate change hard, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Did you hear this Dr. Pippa Malmgren? She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Chatham House, so-called American economist. She made a statement that was, it really confirms a lot of what you and I and others have been reporting for a while, that a cashless society is imminent. She said, literally, we're on the brink of a dramatic change where we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introducing a new one. I mean, this is a science fiction, isn't it, Leo? I'll throw it to you.
Oh, it absolutely is, Sheila. Oh my gosh, I'm just looking at my article right now, Sheila, and it looks like that video may have been removed from Twitter.
I think it actually was scrubbed from Twitter. I wanted to tell you that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that says a lot. Yes, I have the complete quote in text form in front of me from Pippa Malmgren, but I no longer have the video embedded in my article. Unbelievable. That quote from her was so explosive. Apparently, it got back to the Twitter gods that people were actually paying attention and starting to ask questions. Maybe they were starting to ask questions of their elected political leaders. Uncomfortable questions. That quote from Pippa Malmgren, which, as you described, is sort of an insider, a globalist insider among insiders. She goes way back. Her father was an advisor to four U.S. presidents. She claims to have been an advisor to George W. Bush, as well as presidents and prime ministers around the world. She is an expert on technology, and she's also an economist, as you mentioned. And she stated at that World Government Summit last week in Dubai, quote, "We are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we are about to abandon the traditional system of money and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having an almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what is going on," unquote. And she went on from there, Sheila, to state that the downside of this new money system that we're about to embark upon is that people would have less privacy. She admitted that. And she said that it could be such a problem that we may need a new constitution of financial human rights. So she's admitting that our current constitution here in the United States and just about every other constitution of any country in the world will be inadequate to protect us against this new monstrosity that they're getting ready to create, where they will have a, quote, perfect record of every transaction that takes place. And what people don't understand when you talk about the cashless society, Sheila, and the new digital money system, they think, okay, digital money. We already have that in the form of Bitcoin and these other cryptocurrencies. So the governments will get involved in issuing their digital money system. And ho-hum, it'll be, we'll all adapt and get along, right? What they don't understand is that this new money system is not going to be just digital. It's going to be programmable money, and it's going to be very tightly controlled by the central banks, unlike Bitcoin, which is sort of a free-willing, independent type of currency. This one will be under the tight monitoring and surveillance of sovereign governments, and Pippa Malgram even pointed that out in her speech at the conference last week. She said, don't confuse this with Bitcoin. The only thing in common it'll have with Bitcoin is that it's based on blockchain technology. Now, what do I mean by programmable, digital programmable money? This is where we get into the nitty-gritty. And people don't get what that means. And so I have to explain it to them. And what it is that when the central banks issue this digital currency and they get a complete perfect record of every single transaction, they will know everything about you. You can find out everything about a person based on the way they spend their money. Who do they donate to? Are they donating to LeoHoman.com or Sheila Zielinski? Are they donating to the NRA? You know, you can tell a person's values by how they spend their money. Are they donating to certain conservative religious organizations? Which politicians are they donating money to? It will be literally a minute-by-minute dossier on in real time, okay? They're not going to get these reports, you know, next month or next quarter showing what you spent your money on last month or the quarter before. No, this is going to be in real time, this information coming into these central banks. And they're going to, if anyone tells me that we are to trust the governments and their banking systems with that kind of personal data, then I have no hope for you. You are so naive and so stupid that I don't even want to talk to you. If you think that that these governments are going to be altruistic with this type of data, no, they're going to use this data to punish and reward people based on their spending decisions. Are you spending too much on gasoline? You know, because we're supposed to be getting to a net zero carbon footprint, right? And so this is going to be used to monitor people's usage of fuel, home heating, energy. How far are you driving? Where are you going? Where are you spending it money once you get there? Is it frivolous or is it necessary based on the government's standards for such things? It may not start out like that, but that is exactly where it will evolve. Because we know that these globalist power elites, they're masters at what? Incrementalism. And because we don't have a handle on how governments and corporations act in increments, we continuously allow ourselves to be deceived and walk into these digital traps, which are meant to do nothing but enslave us, even though at first it sounds good. It sounds more convenient. They say it's going to be more convenient, and it usually is convenient. But they also will say that it's going to be safer and more secure. That's a lie. It will not be secure. The government will have your most personal data. And it certainly won't be safe because, like I said, we will eventually have the social credit scoring system like China, where the government uses this data against us in a system with a system of rewards and punishments. If you spend your money according to the government's wishes, you're not spending too much on gas, you're not buying a lot of firearms or ammunition, you're not donating to the wrong groups, you know, so-called hate groups. You know, everything conservative now is a hate group, right? If you're a good little obedient global citizen, Sheila, you will get all the perks and you'll be allowed to thrive in this new system. That's the way it works in China. But there could not be anything more anti-American than this digital programmable money system that they're getting ready to launch. I think within the next year to 2 years, it will be here. At first, it will probably run alongside the cash system, but once this is in place, this digital programmable money, they will be phasing out cash. And every year, we'll see less cash until eventually it's completely gone. And they are transitioned completely over from the paper cash money to the digital money. And at that point, once the old system is completely abandoned, as Pippa Malgram says, and I think it will happen over a period of months, probably not years, then you will see the strict enforcement of this system being tied to the social credit scoring system modeled after China.
Well, China really is the goal of the New World Order, absolutely. And you know, this system is, it's at the door, Leo. And once it's here, that's the beginning of the end, because no one is going to be allowed to buy or sell without right. this digitized system. And it really goes lockstep with what I talk about in Technogeddon, where we're also rocket sledding towards becoming hybrid humans at this transhumanism movement. And I believe this really encapsulates what is possible for us to live outside this technocracy on steroids system. And people are walking blindly into this digital trap because they're not really paying attention. I mean, we've had an endless litany of booster shots and to the point of ad nauseum. And it's really frightening how many Christians just look at the churches that shut down. And now most churches, you can't even get in there without a proof of vaccine. I mean, this is a science fiction, isn't it?
It really is. Did you see the article I just posted literally a couple of hours ago? Because you seem to be hitting on that topic.
No, I didn't see the article, but I know what's going on with the churches. Oh, let's jump
okay,
into
that's,
it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so I just posted about an hour ago an article, Is Your Church Getting Paid by the Government to Convince the Flock to Get Injected? These
wow.
churches are getting paid to promote the vaccines among their church people. Even the Epic Times is reporting that now, although in their article they made it sound like it was just a Pennsylvania story for some reason. No, this is going on nationwide here in the U.S. I'm sure it is in Canada as well.
Yeah, let's get into this article. Like, it's really shocking. I've actually interviewed several churches where they've literally not only locked down churches, but the government was paying them to stay closed. And then they would give them a supplemental up to $500,000 if you became a vaccine center. And they certainly want pastors pushing this vaccine. So let's get into what you uncovered in this article, Leo.
Yeah, well, I've uncovered earlier the fact that Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse was getting paid to partner with different pharmaceutical entities to administer the vaccines. And when I reported that initially a couple months, 3 or 4 months ago, I received unbelievable blowback, Sheila. People just did not want to hear that their Christian hero, Franklin Graham, was in on this globalist plot to vaccinate the world, as Bill Gates put it. Yeah, Franklin Graham is in with Bill Gates to vaccinate the world. That is a fact. And his Samaritan's Purse is even listed by the World Health Organization as one of the faith-based organizations that they work with. So, yeah, so much for that. And this new article has some more details on exactly how much they can get paid. It's $10 for every direct text, email, or phone call, or in-person door knock that they make. And then if the person actually responds by going to get vaccinated, they get another $10. So that's like $20 a head for every person that they convince to go get the death shot, the poison death shot, as I call it. I was calling it experimental gene therapy, Sheila. But the more I'm learning about this, with the more data that comes out about how the FDA had all this data, if you've been paying attention to Naomi Wolf and some of these other people doing great reporting on the data that the FDA had before it voted to approve and give emergency use authorization to these vaccines, they already had data showing how harmful they were. And so I'm no longer calling it an experimental gene therapy. I'm calling it gene therapy shots or poison death shots, anything but experimental, because they knew. They knew they had the data ahead of time. They approved it anyway. And so they are complicit in what is really the crime of the century, maybe the biggest crime in human history, if it shapes up to be as bad as it's looking. This could end up making Hitler's Holocaust look like small potatoes. And I don't say that flippantly.
Yeah. And here's the thing that's interesting. When you look at the collaboration between these funders and the fact that the church, even Catholic churches, are partnering with promoting the vaccine.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is,
yeah.
It's not just big name evangelical ministries like Samaritan's Purse. This is frightening.
Oh, no. In fact, my readers were fine with me pointing out that the Catholic Church was heavily involved in this. But when I pointed out Franklin Graham and several other, it wasn't just him, big name evangelical leaders, that was where they started questioning me, started getting on to me. When I gave them the citations, they didn't want to believe me, or they somehow justify it in their mind. It's really unbelievable.
Now, this is interesting that the United Way in Pennsylvania, it's interesting what they told the Epoch Times, that they are working with faith-based organizations.
Yes.
Longtime trusted representatives with established histories in the community, the remaining population of people who are not fully vaccinated are experiencing barriers, lack of trust and lack of access. So why doesn't the pastor just give them a little push over the edge? This is horrifying, isn't it?
It really is. And if you, that language there that woman is using about trusted sources in the community, the religious folks, the pastors, this time, that is exactly the language that was used at Event 201 in October 2019, where they simulated this entire global pandemic before it, 2 months before it actually occurred. They talked about in that conference in New York, October 19th, 2019, they talked about using, quote, trusted sources in the community, doctors, pastors, and such, to push this vaccine, to push the whole fear narrative and get people to accept the dominant narrative that this is a untreatable virus, that there's no therapeutics that will treat it. Only vaccines, Sheila. Only vaccines can protect you from this fearful, invisible virus. And that's exactly what we've seen play out over the last year and a half now with the vaccines. They've recruited pastors. They've recruited doctors in the community and other trusted sources that the average person will listen to. And it's been very effective.
So let's think about this for a sec. If they could, they would know that, we're looking at all these vaccine mandates and shutdowns. It's all part of a plan for the controlled demolition of America and the West. Because what is this designed to do? It's designed to have people fully succumb and acquiesce to these people like the Klaus Schwabs, the vision as put forth by the World Economic Forum and all these entities, these demonic, disgusting places like, well, you just mentioned them, Bill Gates, Gavi, the United Nations, Rockefeller, Soros and Ford Foundations, BlackRock, Vanguard. This is all really controlled, isn't it?
Absolutely. I had another article last week about Larry Fink, head of BlackRock. I unearthed an old video from him, not that old, but 2017, where he was saying at a business roundtable discussion hosted by, I think it was the New York Times, he was saying that he was working even then, 4 or 5 years ago, to make sure that corporations force behavioral changes upon their people, their employees, and everyone else. Force change and using the stiff arm of corporate power to do that, because people need jobs, right? And so what did we see play out? What was, besides recruiting the trusted sources, pastors, doctors, they also used the corporations. The pastors and the doctors were kind of the carrot, and the corporate CEOs were the stick. Because these corporate CEOs told people, you either get this vaccine, or you're going to lose your job. They threatened them with their jobs, with their ability to put food on the table for their families. And that was the other side of this carrot stick approach towards coercing every man, woman, and child to get this gene therapy death shot, Sheila. it really is coercion is the best word I can think to describe this new world system. They're wanting people to walk into it voluntarily with pressure, of course, pressure on your job, your finances, and then they'll try to reward you and pay you to do it. You know, remember they were given these corporations gave $200 to every employee who would just willy-nilly, reflexively go and get a shot of something they had no idea what was in it. We, to this day, have still not been told exactly what is in these shots. But here's $200 and go get it injected into you. Good luck. You know, it really is disgusting. And this BlackRock, I don't know how familiar your listeners are with them, but this is not just any corporate CEO. This guy, Larry Fink, who heads up BlackRock, this company owns a stake in just about every other major company in the Fortune 1000 companies. And he is also on the board of trustees at the World Economic Forum. So he's tied in with Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, Yuval Noah Harari, and all these disgusting creeps. Yuval Noah Harari, this is the Israeli gentleman. He's a professor of history at one of the major universities in Jerusalem. I think it's Hebrew University, yeah. And he's an interesting character. He is the chief advisor to Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, which is pushing this whole great reset on humanity. And he says that human beings are, quote, hackable animals, and that once you hack something, you can usually re-engineer it. And he is saying that the human species needs to be re-engineered. And they will do that through vaccines and other measures. And so it reminds me of, you know, Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World. And Huxley was quoted in 1931 saying, I'm going to read this quote from him because this was all those years ago, but he was kind of prophetic. He said, quote, the perfect dictatorship would have the appearance of a democracy, but would basically be a prison without walls in which the prisoners would not even dream of escaping. It would essentially be a system of slavery where, through consumption and entertainment, the slaves would love their servitudes, unquote. And another thing that Harari said is that we don't need as many people on the planet anymore. And he was asked, well, what, you know, if we have too many people, what are we going to do with them? And he said, basically, we'll get them drugged, keep them drugged up and entertained, playing video games and whatnot. That was what he said. The man is pure evil. And this is the guy who's advising Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, which hosts a conference every year for the world's most powerful politicians, media figures, entertainment figures, and business leaders. So, you know, this really is pure evil. And they say we need to change everything we do and how we do everything in life in order to get to this net zero carbon footprint. But who are these people, Sheila? And what right do they have to be telling us how to change our lives? And the thing that distresses me more than anything about this entire story that we're talking about here today is that you don't hear a single American politician talking about it. Did you hear a single American or Canadian, for that matter, politician talking about Pippa Malgram's bombshell speech last week at the World Government Summit, where we're getting ready to abandon our traditional money system and introduced an all-new one based on digital blockchain? No, I didn't hear a single, even the best of our politicians, you know, Donald Trump, Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, they're completely silent on this. And that is why I don't know about how you feel about this, Sheila, but I'm done with politicians. I will never give another dime to a national politician. If I know of somebody running locally for a county commission or city council seat who is like-minded, I will support them. And I'll vote in national elections, but I will never give another dime to a national politician because you know what? They've proven themselves to be inept. They do not address the real issues. Even when Joe Biden is putting out an executive order, you can't even just say, well, Pippa Malgram, you know, World Government Summit, that sounds like conspiracy theory to me. Okay, maybe in past years you could say that. But you know what? This year, what happened? Less than a month before she made that statement at the World Government Summit, Joe Biden's coming puts out an executive order demanding that several federal agencies come up with a plan, a feasibility study, basically, for creating a digital dollar, a new digital dollar. And so this is right out in our faces now. You've even got executive orders coming from the White House. At the same time, you've got Klaus Schwab, Pippa Malgram, and all these people saying we need a new digital money system. You've got governments moving in that direction. 120 different governments throughout the world are experimenting right now with new digital currencies. And many of them, like China, are well down the road with this. So it's nothing, you can't say it any longer that it's conspiracy theory. So why are these politicians not talking about it?
Absolutely. And so what they want is an economic system based on this new digital programmable currency. They want a Luciferian structure, really. I talk about that in Green Gospel with this disgusting net zero that means suicide, because there's no such, it's not achievable.
It's not achievable without wiping out, you know, half or more of the global population.
That's exactly what it's about. It's a Luciferian eugenics depopulation plan. And that means the present capitalist economic system that we have in the West based on the US dollar, I mean, they're going to build back better. No, build back bankrupt with a new money system, new technocracy-based social credit. And I mean, this has nothing to do with capitalism, does it?
Not whatsoever, but they do use that word capitalism, and that is part of the deception, see? They call it stakeholder capitalism. That sounds wonderful. And, you know, after people get 4 years of communism from Joe Biden and from Justin Trudeau and people like that, I think something, if you come in and say, oh, we're going to offer stakeholder capitalism, people are going to run to it. They're going to embrace it. And this could be the strategy of the Antichrist system and perhaps even the Antichrist, the man who comes forth and say, you know what? Communism is a failed system. We're going to bring in stakeholder capitalism. And people, after having years of suffering under socialism and communism, I think they'll embrace it and they will, like we said, walk right into this digital trap.
Well, and not only that, exactly digital trap, because the WEF envisions there's going to be no more private property in the hands of we the people. We'll own nothing and like it, remember. We'll be happy. Schwab introduced these concepts in the book COVID-19, The Great Reset, which I read and was shocking because the system involves every individual, whether you like it or not. And you said it earlier, they will love their servitude, isn't it?
Yes. And you just said it, a key thing right there, where everybody will be included in this. If you read Agenda 2030, they make mention that no person will be left behind by this system. You don't get the option of opting out. That's what people don't understand. You can try to survive, and we will have to try to survive as long as possible outside this new money system when it gets launched. But I think if we live long enough, you know, there will come a day where they're going to come for us, because they're very clear in saying this isn't an optional system, okay? This is going to be mandatory. And we've seen how they love to use mandates. We never heard of mandates until, well, they had Obamacare had a mandate, a healthcare insurance mandate. That was kind of the first we heard of it in a governmental sense in the United States. But then we didn't hear any more about that until COVID hit, and they've got all these new mandates. Okay. You will do this and you will do that. You don't do it, you don't eat. Okay. They're very upfront about it. And this is what I think people need to understand, because once you understand that, now you're starting to wake up, see, and you're starting to say, I need to resist this. And then you start asking, well, what does resistance involve? It involves not doing everything that they say you must do. Okay. You got to wear a mask. No, I don't. And, you know, it might involve some uncomfortable situations. You might not be able to use air travel at some point. Well, you can't use air travel already if you don't wear a mask, even though, isn't it interesting? They're getting rid of any COVID-related restrictions at the U.S.-Mexico border for the illegal immigrants coming through. And they say that's going to jack up the flow of the already extremely high flow of illegal immigration. We're going to get 18,000 a day once this Title 42 COVID restriction at the border is expired on, I think it's May 21st. And so at the same time they're getting rid of restrictions like that, they're not getting rid of restrictions like mask wearing on airlines and what have you. And Biden keeps renewing the national emergency, national health emergency, which Trump was the first one to let that horse out of the barn, March 11th, 2020. And it's been extended and extended and extended. Biden keeps extending it, even though COVID is not out there killing people like it supposedly was. The people mostly getting sick now are the vaccinated. Every day we've got new announcements, mostly from Democrat politicians, saying, oh, I'm COVID positive, but go ahead and get vaxxed and boosted like I am. Isn't that a great advertisement to get vaxxed and boosted? Oh, I just tested positive. You know, I haven't been vaxxed or boosted. I'm not out there testing positive. I had it once and I'm done. That doesn't mean they won't release a new strain, but I'm not getting their poison death shot, Sheila. And that will mean at some point, people who make that decision, and I've made it, I will never get it, we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that we're going to be forced out of the system. And what do I mean by that? You won't be able to go to your county hospital. You won't be able to have a bank account. You won't be having a corporate job. All of these things that we kind of take for granted will not be available anymore. And so we need to try to form some kind of parallel societies where like-minded people are offering healthcare, like-minded people are maybe offering bank accounts. I don't know. But we need to get rocking with that.
And doesn't it kind of interest you to know that if you really go back and look at history, it's interesting, and I cover this in Green Gospel, that in 1848, Karl Marx presented his formula for world revolution, which he called the Communist Manifesto. And in chapter 2, interestingly, Leo, he boldly stated that the central objective of a new world order was the abolition of private property. Now, fast forward to 1992, the Rio Summit, United Nations Agenda 21, and guess what? It's at a local community near you. It's not coming, it's here. And what does it call for? Dramatically increasing urbanization, forcing populations, Leo, out of rural areas into these densely populated massive megacities complete with stack and pack micro apartments controlled by these technocrats with the ability to control every aspect of one's life. And when completed, it's what I call hell on earth, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. They're going to try to force us off of our land, people who live in the suburbs and the semi-rural and rural areas. They don't want you living on an acre of land, let alone 5, 10 or more acres of land. They want you where you can be more easily controlled, living in that high-rise apartment adjacent to a rail hub where you will take public transit everywhere or ride a bike or walk. Those will be your three options. If you're among the elites, you'll be able to afford, you know, an electric car. Maybe some upper middle class people will be able to afford a car. I don't know, but it will have to be electric, and they will run, you know, $75,000 to $100,000. Who can afford that? So this is where we're going. Air travel will be a thing of the past. The gas powered combustion engine will be a thing of the past. Oh, and are you aware that Congress, in their infrastructure bill that was passed, their $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, has a provision in it that by the year 2026, I believe it is, don't hold me on the year, but it's give or take a year, by that 2026 or thereabouts, every car manufacturer, Sheila, will have to include an automobile kill switch on every single vehicle that they make, where they can push a button and your vehicle is disabled.
Oh, yeah. Like, and what's amazing to me is the push for, you got to get out of the, you know, your gas guzzling truck. I mean, who can afford gas anyway, Leo? But the point is, they're really pushing for these disgusting electric cars. You know, we've already been inundated with wind, solar, and all these, you know, we got to go net zero, carbon emissions, carbon neutral. I mean, this is all just absolute science fiction. And it's all based on the fact that humans are a problem. These CO2 emitting plebs, you know, like the carbon tax that Justin Trudeau just implemented in Canada. But the push really is they want to get you into these little greeny smart cars, you know, saving Mother Earth. I mean, it's all very diabolical, isn't it?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Luciferian. What is Satan all about? He's about killing you. He wants to kill your body. And if he can't kill your body, he wants to kill your soul and your spirit. So that's why, should we be surprised that these Luciferians at the World Economic Forum and the 1% of the 1%, like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and Schwab and Harari and Soros and all of these people, the British royal family, scumbags, satanic, Luciferian scumbags. Why do I say that? And I don't say that lightly, because they want to kill people. That's why they're so in favor of abortion on demand, always have been for decades. Now they've got this new toy they've rolled out called the mRNA COVID vaccines. They're using that to kill people and sterilize women. Okay. The miscarriages in a new U.S. military study were up like 1,100% in this new data that's coming out. It's crazy. So everything in their agenda about this net zero agenda is about killing people and sterilizing people. We know who their inspiration comes from. It's very clear with anybody who has any type of discernment, Sheila.
You know, and I've uncovered this in, again, Green Gospel, where, you know, guys like Paul Ehrlich, who wrote Population Bomb, they even suggest putting sterilants in the drinking water, one-child policies. I mean, this really is the goal, is depopulation. A lot of people really, they don't really wrap their heads around that, Leo, because, you know, as Christians think, why would the government want to do that? But they really don't understand there's a very satanic globalist agenda. And it really ties into this COVID vaccine, because as you so eloquently put, the death shot, I mean, look at the fact that Bill Gates has said on record, if we do a really good job through vaccines, we can lower the population. This is in their words, not ours, Leo.
Right. Same with Harari. He's on record saying we got way too many people, not just too many people, but too many useless people. And how do we do that? What do we do with them? We try to keep them drugged up and entertained. That's the best we can hope for, he said. So, yeah, they don't need this many people anymore. They used to need more people because they needed their worker bees, you know, to man the factories. But they have robots now to do most of this work. So they, while they used to put up with us and indulge us, that's over. And that's another famous quote from Yuval Noah Harari. He said, human beings do not have a free will. He said, that's over. Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, where he looks with his demonic stare into the camera and says, that's over. I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. These people are so evil.
What is your take on this Ukraine-Russian kabuki theater smoke and mirrors, isn't it? And
of course, I'm glad you asked about that.
Yeah,
because
let's get into that.
Again, Sheila, that place, they're slowly escalating this thing to a wider war, a regional, if not a global world war. And again, what does that accomplish? It accomplishes a lot. People die in wars, right? We already discussed how this entire agenda requires the depopulation of the world. So not only will they be able to kill a lot of people in a new world war, it will cover the fact that these vaccines are killing so many young people. You know, people over 65 die and not too many questions are asked, right? Because you can blame that on anything when someone is 70, 80 years old. But when somebody is, you know, a child, a teenager, or a young adult, and they suddenly die of cardiac arrest or a stroke, or maybe a debilitating illness where they're not dead, but they wish they were because they've now got excruciating issues to deal with. Wouldn't it be perfect to cover all that up with a world war where what do? You send young people where? To the front lines. You implement the draft. You conscript people, men and women, right? Because we got to be equal. We have to have equality going on here now. And that's a way that they will eliminate a lot of young people, and they can just sweep it under the rug as the part of the winds of war. And it never gets tied to these dangerous vaccines.
And what I think is so frightening, and if you look at situations in Italy where, you know, in Canada, in Australia, the unvaccinated are banned from everything, public transportation, restaurants, bars, they're arresting people and swatting people for not wearing masks. I mean, this is just absolutely disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's going to get worse. I think we've got a little bit of a reprieve right now in the United States. I don't know if it's that way in Canada and some of these other countries, but they're backing off a lot of the restrictions here in most of the states, at least here in the United States. But I do feel like that is just going to be temporary. And they're going to come back at some point and say, you know what, this is getting out of control again. All they have to do is start testing more, right? If they want to, that's the wonderful thing about COVID for these elites. They've got this PCR test, the inventor of which clearly stated that his invention, the PCR test, was never meant to be a diagnostic test. It was never meant to diagnose anything. It was supposed to be for research purposes only. And that's the test that they use conveniently to tell whether or not you've got COVID. And so they can ramp the cycles up and amplify those cycles high enough to where just about anyone can test positive. If you've ever had a cold, for instance, you've got remnants of that old coronavirus still in your system. And so if we amplify the test, ratchet it up high enough, and start magnifying closer and closer and looking closer and closer in at what's exactly in your body, we're going to find some coronavirus and you're going to test positive. This is a fact. The guy's name was Kerry Mullis, M-U-L-L-I-S. He invented the PCR test. There's a video of him on, I don't know if it's still on YouTube, but it was at some point early last year, over a year ago, and I had reported on that video and showed him saying this was never meant to be a diagnostic test. And so they've got a scam going here. Whenever they want to ratchet up the fear mongering, all they have to do is start testing more people and ratchet up the amplifications on that PCR test. And they've got what? A new explosion of cases. Even if people aren't dying, they just talk about the cases on the media.
Absolutely. This fake news is really, you know, this Operation Mockingbird is really frightening. But now, in the last year, when we look at ID 2020, we look at the health pass collaboration, the digital ID, we can see this convergence of, well, look, think about it, digital currency with digital ID. So you've got this, another piece to this evolving techno-fascist puzzle. It's the new digital currency. And we can really see how, you know, even the IMF was talking about India being the global leader, China, you know, moving away from paper money. Klaus Schwab warned us ahead of time about his elitist buddies were talking about the fourth industrial revolution leading to a digital identity. I mean, this all goes together, converging, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Klaus Schwab warned us that the fourth industrial revolution would lead to a fusion of our digital, biological, and physical identities, right? Three identities: physical, biological, and digital. To me, that's a counterfeit of God's creation, body, soul, and spirit. Lucifer always tries to counterfeit everything of God. Have you noticed that, Sheila?
He is the ultimate counterfeiter, isn't he?
Yes, yes. He likes to invert things and counterfeit things. And so when I heard Klaus Schwab talking about that triune identity, where those three identities would be merged in one human being, I immediately thought of body, soul, and spirit, which is how God created us. And this is Satan trying to mock God. He won't get away with that for long. We've got to realize that it's no longer just futuristic ramblings when we talk about these things, which even when it was far off in the future, I think it was important. But now they really do seem to be, with the dawn of COVID, more than 2 years into it now, I think the whole reason for this, Sheila, was to because they feel like they're in the implementation stage now of their new world order, their great reset, the beast system, whatever you want to call it. They've been sort of filing their people into place for decades, getting their minions in all the key positions of power, in all the major government and cultural institutions, education, the media, the bureaucracies, the top levels of the science and health fields, even law enforcement and the military. Everything seems like it's taken over and infiltrated now by these elites. They have their people in place, okay? And it's taken a lot of years to do that. That's not something that you do overnight or in a four-year presidential term. No, that takes decades. And I think they've been working on that since, in America, at least since the 1960s, probably earlier. And so they feel like they've accomplished that now. And it's multi-generational, by the way. So the only thing left is for them to implement this new world order. And yeah, they've got pieces of it in place, but they are missing key parts. And I think the two biggest things that they're missing are what you mentioned, the global digital money system and the global digital ID system. And I've written articles saying everything you see happening right now on the world stage is pushing towards those two things being implemented. And so with eyes wide open as Christians, we know we're living in exciting times, challenging times, but we have to be realistic. We have to not sugarcoat it, not pull punches when we talk about these things with friends and family. We lay it on the line. We tell them the truth. Some people will accept it and prepare physically, spiritually, emotionally. Others will dismiss it. And that's the hard part, I think, Sheila, is that when a close friend or even a family member hears the truth and chooses to dismiss it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Leo, give out your information for the folks where they can find all your handiwork and anything else you want to say in the last part of the program.
Sure. People can find me at leohoman.com. That is my WordPress site where I put out 1 to 2, sometimes 3 articles a week. They can find me on Substack/Leo Homan, I believe it is. They can find me on Telegram by just searching Leo Homan, author/journalist. And I still have the Homan Report on Facebook, but I post my articles there. I rarely do anything else. I just feel like Facebook has turned into nothing but a big, huge psyop. So yeah, that's where you can find me. But the easiest way is just to subscribe to my website, leohoman.com, and you'll get an email when I post a new article.
Well, and I also really like to encourage people to pick up your book, The Stealth Invasion. Talk a little bit about your book and why that's important too.
Stealth Invasion came out in 2017. It was published by WND Books, and the subtitle was Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad, which is fine, but I really feel like that subtitle, which WND made me go with, shortchanges the book. The book is about more than just Muslim takeovers of communities, which does happen, by the way, through refugee resettlement, but it's about more than that. It's about globalism. Islam is just one of the tools, I believe, Sheila, in the handy bag of the globalists. They use the Islamic jihadists. They use the mosques, just like they use the communists and the anarchists and the Black Lives Matter people and all the. These are all tools in their toolbox. And I don't think the final agenda is to have a global caliphate like some people do. I think that's just one of their more powerful tools that they use to divide and conquer the Western nations. The last thing that they want is a peaceful, prosperous, law and orderly society. If you have that based on godly principles in the Bible, if you have that, you can't conquer it. That's the immune system to these beast systems. that's what inoculates a nation or a community, society, whatever, against these elitist globalist tyrants. And so that's why they throw these people in, these refugees from places like Iraq and Syria and Somalia, you know, because they know they're not going to assimilate into Western society. They're going to make demands on that society, which is then going to do what? Divide that society, because you got the liberals who want to go and flow along with all their demands, and you've got the more conservative folk who are like, no, I like my community the way it is. I don't want to change it for you people. If you come to America, then adopt our values. So you've got then that ingrained inherent division, and that's exactly what these globalists love. To stir up in every community, every state, every country. And that's really what the book is all about.
Well, it's an excellent book, and I've also included our interview on that book below in the description, as well as Leo's website and his information. Leo, thank you so much for not only what you do, but thank you for your time in coming back on the program. We'll see you real soon.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
Folks, that was Leo Homan from leohoman.com. His information is linked below in the description. I really encourage you to check out the show that him and I did. It is also linked there in the description below. Make sure that you are signed up to get my free weekly update. That's an update that arrives in your email. I try to get one out once a week that includes great upcoming guests and fantastic shows via the podcast. And make sure you are subscribed to me on the podcast. Go to SheilaZielinski.com and go to the listen page. And there's a variety of ways to listen. And also, I hope that you do support the ministry by going to giving. We've made a whole lot of simple, convenient ways for you to support the ministry, including Cash App, Zelle, Venmo, PayPal, snail mail, and a whole lot of other ways as well. And for my patrons, if you sign up over there at Patreon for any amount, we are going to be putting exclusive content only for the patrons. So do become a patron today of the Sheila Zielinski Show. Well, folks, I really feel like, I mean, it was a heavy show. I feel like we need some prayer right now, and that's how I'm going to end the show. And I hope you really come in agreement with me on all this spiritual warfare that we're up against. We're up against techno sorcery, demonic depopulation, digital dictatorship. We're talking about human extinction. And like Leo mentioned in the show, that's what Satan wants to do, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So come together with me. Prayer is powerful. If you would come in agreement with me right now. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We repent for our sins. We repent for and renounce all whoredoms and idolatries, iniquity and defilement of each of us in our generational family lines. We close these doors and we break these curses on our lives stemming from this iniquity. Lord, you have given us all power over the enemy, and we exercise that power now. Satan, we bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the strong man over our cities and our nation. We bind in everlasting chains all principalities, powers, dominions, every wicked spirit, evil angel, familiar spirit, ancestral spirit, worker of iniquity, soul scalper, soul hunters, witch wizards, witch doctors, sorcerers, necromancers, and all operators of evil. We put the blood of Jesus against these rituals, these incantations, hexes, vexes, hoodoo, voodoo, hin, jinn, magic, spells, spoken curses, chi, prana, aura, charm, and any object used by workers of iniquity against us, including astral projection. We loose the judgment and the vengeance of God on every demonic entity that guards gates and portals and enforce these things and form these weapons. We bind you, we break your power, and we command you now to go to the deep, dark, dry places. We send you to the pits right now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we sever every nefarious transmission from satellites against these 5G ley line technologies. We come against all the mind binding, witchcraft, mind control, and demonic programming. We bind and break the power of all constellation spirits. We bind up the prince of the power of the air and all these world ruler spirits in operation. God, you said no weapon formed against us shall prosper, not even tech weaponry. We take authority of all these man-made weapons, these bioweapon systems, again, including 5G, EMF, radiation, electromagnetic, psychotronic lasers, waves, directed energy, mind control, and manipulation. We bind these spirits operating through AI, nanotech, digital IDs, robots, genetic engineering, all these technological electronic devices, computer, iPads, mobile phones, fitness trackers. We bind these devils that operate in this technology. We speak death to all these heinous aerosols in the chemtrails. We curse at the root all these concoctions from the pit of hell causing us harm and command them to dissolve and die now in the name of Jesus. We ask that all hidden documents, covenants, contracts, oaths, vows be broken by the blood of Jesus. We loose the mighty warrior angels of God with hammers, Zechariah 1:2-1, to go smash the supply lines and send these curses back upon every transmitter. We ask you, Jesus, to send the wall of fire, the Holy Spirit, Zechariah 2:5, and burn the banners and scrolls of the enemy carrying out attacks against us. We loose division in the camp of the enemy. We declare unrelenting judgment against the entire globalist agenda, including the WEF, the United Nations, the vast network of sinister companies and pharmaceutical companies and any and all agencies complicit in these hellish attacks on God's people. We fall out of agreement with the enemy in this entire human extinction agenda. And Lord, we ask you to blot out and cancel these demonic assignments against us. We loose the judgment of Almighty God on these devils, the vengeance of God on all these taking parts in these evil plots and plans by these evil practitioners. We sever the supply lines and communication lines and give charge to mighty angels to cancel these assignments. We bind that spirit of tyranny right now in our country's Father. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, all those who are standing for truth, liberty, righteousness, and justice. And Father, for people that have afflictions right now in their body, infirmities, Father, I speak a supernatural reversal and neutralization to any and all damage done to people through demon tech, the jab, inoculation. If people have received this jab, any foreign substance in their body, we speak a neutralization to it in the name of Jesus. I ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse your DNA in every cell, in every part of your body right now. And I speak supernatural healing to every system in your body. Your cardiovascular, digestive, endocrine, exocrine, immune system, lymphatic, muscular, skeletal, nervous, renal, respiratory, reproductive. Father God, I know I ask you for a Holy Spirit life-giving regeneration and renewal to everyone listening right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we decree that you alone are our shield, our buckler, our rear guard, our strong tower and fortress. And we ask right now for divine protection. We put our trust and faith in you, and we give you, Father, all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for listening today, folks. I hope you were very blessed by the program. I hope to hear from you. We'll see you again real soon. Good night. And God bless you.